Ask the Podcast Coach for December 13th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it's Saturday morning. It is time for Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcasting questions answered live. Just go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live every Saturday morning, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. For those of you that are joining us live, we apologize for being a little late. We'll talk about the... this show has always been kind of fun. We always throw things at the wall live, which is always fun. And sometimes it's a train wreck and sometimes it works perfect. And the good thing is I'm not alone. I'm always joined by my good buddy, Jim Collison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings and happy Saturday morning to you, Dave, and happy 12, 13, 14 today.
Well, wow, that is cool.
Yeah, just a few minutes ago, it was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 on the date. Not long ago, maybe about 20 minutes ago.
And I missed it. I wasn't even paying attention.
I'm a little bit of a time nerd.
You need a t-shirt. Time nerd. Yeah,
time nerd.
Hey, before we make this person wait any longer, we do have a caller who's been waiting already for 7 minutes. So ending in, you're the only, here we go. Ending in 9118. I'm going to put you on the air. There we are. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
In the morning, Dave. This is Fred Castaneda from Skills in Screencast and Podcast.com. How are you?
Much better now that we figured out what's going on. I appreciate you holding on. I don't know if you could hear us bumbling through. That's not working.
Yeah, everything. You're coming in lucky, Chucky. Loud and clear.
All right.
I had one question for you, and that is, I wanted to find out about your strategy, if you have one, of plans and strategies, how you combine your audio podcast and your videos, as well as your screencast. I know that you have, behind the School of Podcasting and other membership locations, you probably do that, and maybe you can share with us how you do it, not share any confidential material, but just share with us what you do and how you combine your audio and video in a strategy for your business.
Well, this show is done via audio, but it also, I'm sorry, it's done via video. We have video for it. It's not primarily a video show. When I can, I use it. And then what I usually do is if there's something that's really super duper, makes no sense, on an audio podcast, I will cut that out of the audio version. I don't want to waste my listeners' time. I use the video for that. I also then, I usually download the video from YouTube and do a little bit of editing if I have the time, which often is not the case. But if I do have the time, I'll try to go in and add some little lower thirds and things like that. In terms of screencasting, that is the heart and soul of the School of Podcasting. I mean, last week we were talking about how to add an image to your sidebar. And we said that if you really wanted to know that step by step, I've got tutorials for that that'll walk you through the whole process. And then I occasionally will just do things on YouTube just for the fun of it, just to say hi and things like that. Or in some cases, I'll do a private video on YouTube to answer somebody's very specific question at the School of Podcasting. I'll do a screencast, upload it to YouTube, although now I'm starting to use Mediafire for that. And I'll send them a link so they can say, you know, they're like, how do I do this? It's in this, or I have this plugin or whatever. And I'll go that route for that. So that's primarily the use of audio, video, and screencasting.
Okay. And as far as Google Hangout on Air or any kind of webinar jam, you just see that as a vehicle for what you're doing like right now?
Yeah, I mean, I use it for Ask the Podcast Coach. I do it when we have somebody who wants to be on with us on the podcast review show. I use a thing now called join.me to share screens if I'm doing like troubleshooting or if I'm doing one-on-one consulting. I used to use GoToWebinar for that. I recently switched to join.me. But that's the main tools at this point. And then I use Camtasia to capture, to do any kind of editing and video. And then there's ScreenFlow, which I hope to get a little more up to date on the Mac side. In the last 2 weeks of the year, I have off. So I have a lot of things I'm going to be diving into that I normally don't have time to get into.
Well, you know, Steve has that that tutorial.
Yep.
On ScreenFlow.
I've been through that.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a great course. I love it. I just haven't had the time to, you know, you always go with what you know. So when it came time to do something, I should have forced myself to use ScreenFlow, but I used Camtasia because, you know, path of least resistance kind of thing.
Right. Last question happens to be, are you going to be doing any kind of telesummit? In other words, virtual podcast.
In 2015 or just... I mean, I do a monthly call with the School of Podcasting. We do that once a month. This month, we're going to do something different where I'm actually going to offer more or less one-on-one consulting for anybody at the School of Podcasting within reason. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, spend 6 hours with you. But that's what we're probably going to do in December because we can't find a time when everybody's available. And then in 2015, I'll probably bring back some sort of, you know, last year I called it Podcasting in 6 Weeks. I have a course I'll probably bring back. When I started working on the School of Podcasting, I put that on the back burner. And then about the time I was going to bring it back, New Media Expo came on board. So sometime in 2015, I'll probably bring it back. I love that because I want to do a class with like four or five people, really small, and go super in depth with those people to almost like one-on-one consulting, except it's not as expensive because you have four or five other people footing the bill.
Will that be advertised? Besides the School of Podcasting members, will it be advertised to the outside?
Oh, yeah, that will be for, it's basically, it's like podcasting in 6 weeks. But, yeah, it'll be on the School of Podcasting. It'll be, you know, it's for people who don't have a podcast.
All right. Well, anyway, the last item is, do you have an update on Audello or your perspectives on Audello? Have you played with it since the last time we talked?
December
31 timeframe is coming, and that's the last of the 60 days to get a refund.
Oh, I already got my refund a long time ago. When you know, if you listen to Libsyn Live or Libsyn the Feed, Libsyn Live had I can see her. Not Elsie. Oh, it's going to come to my anyway. I want to say Crystal, but that's not it. But anyway, one of the tech support people, there's a bug in at least there was. Now, of course, you can always fix a bug, but where if you have multiple Libsyn shows on, cause you can have like on my Libsyn account, I have Ask the Podcast Coach. I have the School of Podcasting. I have Building a Better Dave and a couple other, my other shows. I have a couple on Blueberry as well. But if you used Audello and you uploaded your audio, it randomly picked where your show went. So I could be uploading a Ask the Podcast Coach show and it could put it on my Building a Better Dave show. And that's when I went, I don't even want to play with this at this point. It's that there's bugs. And then there's like, hey, you just shot me in the foot. And there were people for that to really work and really get all the major stats that they offered. You had to run your feed through them. And I'm like, no, not happening. So, you know, I just tell people, you know, it's full of bugs. It's chock full of bugs and bugs can be fixed. That's great. I wouldn't use it now, though. They've offered it to allow me to kick the tires longer if I want to. And I might pursue that just to keep on top of it. You know, it's a great idea. I just right now I'm like, it's so not ready for prime time in my book.
Oh, okay. Have you used Ringer? Have you been able to get your hands on it?
On what?
Ringer, R-I-N-G-O.
Talk to Tim this week. Cause I said, dude, people are talking about your show and they are right now. And I don't quite get this, but they're waiting to be approved by Apple. I was not aware that this was an app. I thought it was a website thing. And they're hoping in January to launch. So.
Okay. Sorry to take up much of your time.
No.
Say hi. And in the morning, Dave.
Absolutely, Fred. Thanks for calling in, buddy. And thanks for waiting. I know you're on hold for a while, so I appreciate that.
No, it's back in the day. That's what we want to say. Back in the day.
No, he's...
I'm waiting for that to catch on. I think if I keep saying that enough, people will. Back in the day.
So...
Got to get that going.
Yeah, but no, so it was, you know, it was just a little... It was nice to hear from Tim. I was glad that he responded really quick. And I'm like, hey, people are kind of excited about your service. He's like, yeah, we're waiting for Apple to approve us. And I'm like, so that's where I was like, okay, because so, it used to be originally, again, when this was going to be a, you know, it does a double ender in the cloud, for lack of a better phrase. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds cool, but I'm not sure what the holdup was. I'm sure we'll find out once it launches or whatever.
So I had a challenge this week. Actually, I've had it for the last year. Is as we've taken it at Gallup, as we've taken the podcasts live in a bunch of different places. You know, we come in from Singapore and Sydney, and from India. We have three offices in China, and of course that's not going to work there. We can't. They block it. I thought, well, maybe they don't block Google Plus. They just block Google itself, but they block all Google properties there. And so that, you know, so you have to start asking yourself the question, what kind of service am I going to use, you know, to get this done? And I could, you know, we looked at the traditional GoToMeeting and, you know, the ReadyTalk and some of those other US based ones. But I stumbled across this service called Zoom, zoom.com. And in this case, if you go to zoom.us, and they are like a Google Hangout equivalent and are very easy to use. Their pricing plans are pretty reasonable in the sense that for $10 a month, you can get access to pretty much unlimited everything from them. And so think of a Google Hangout, right? Think of Hangouts, but just pulled out of Google and made separate, made different. It's video conferencing solution is what it is. And they have all kinds of different plans that are out there, but some pretty good quality audio and video. We did some testing this week. One of the very first tests I did is I just sent a link to my contact in Shanghai and said, I didn't even say anything. I'm just like, hey, I'm testing this out. Click this link. Said nothing. All 2 minutes later, boom, there she was. I was like, wow. You're here. Like it works. I didn't have to call you on the phone and walk you through walk you through the setup. And to me, that's kind of the test of, is it easy to use or not, is if you can send it to kind of a novice user and have them just pick up on it. And, you know, layout's a little bit different. Main videos on the bottom with our smaller windows being up on top of that, but a very easy user interface, a little record button that is there. It doesn't broadcast, right? So this is the big difference. You're not going to broadcast like we are broadcasting live here on YouTube using it. But it gives a really good recording that gives you both an audio only and a video file when you're done, which I thought was really, really cool. So you hit record, boom, it says, hey, I'm processing. And then locally, it drops that down. It drops all that stuff to a local file for you, and it's ready in a couple minutes. My calls aren't very long, and I haven't tested it very long, but it gives you both audio, and here's what's cool. It records the chat for you as well. So if you have chat going on,
nice.
You get a little text file that has all the chat in it. And I thought for $10 per host, right, to get it with the free version, you get almost everything with the exception of you only get 40-minute meetings, right? How did they pick 40?
Right.
I don't know. It's 40 minutes, right? In most cases, right, that's going to work for you to try something out. If you have an hour-long podcast, that's not going to work. But the $10 a month version allows up to 25 participants to join you, so you can get 25 in a call. This is something we've been trying to do with online learning at Gallup too, is how do I get 20 or 25 participants in the same room all at the same time? We still have to test it out. This is like I just tried it. You know, I just found it this week and did some testing with it. Some of the listeners here, Andy Sokolovich and such, joined me for that call when we did it. But it was very, very cool. So zoom.com, if you're looking for maybe an alternative or something along those lines, that might be a cool little service to look at.
Yeah, the chat room, Jeff Bundy says that computerstoknow.com, which of course is our buddy Mike Phillips. Lots of accolades about that service on a podcast he listens to every Sunday. So
about
that is
Zoom?
About Zoom. So
yeah, it can be. Daniel says Zoom is more of a GoToMeeting or GoToWebinar replacement. He kind of asked that question. And yeah, it's kind of designed around conferencing. But, you know, the thing I liked about it is you and I could jump on it. If we weren't going to broadcast this, right, you and I could jump on it and I could hit the record button and I could record that video and audio podcast, so to speak. And it would be a great way for folks to collaborate. And I haven't tested the audio or video quality yet, right? At this point, I don't have any stats on it at this point, but
I'll have to check that out.
Not bad. Yeah. Something worth looking at if you're a podcaster, at least, add it to your quiver.
Quiver word of the day. Excellent. Hey, ending in, 1154, what's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Hey, this is John Wilkerson from the Wired Homeschool. And, the question I have is, you know, I don't really have necessarily a question about podcasting, but, well, yeah, I do actually, but it's more about iTunes. You know, one of the things that really bugs me about iTunes is the fact that their directory is so stinking out of date. Mm-hmm. You know, I go on there and you search for a podcast, and there's people who haven't podcast since like 2007, you know, and they're still listed in the directory. And do you think there's any way possible that we as podcasters could get together and say to iTunes, come on, clean up the directory? Because, you know, I'm not really that concerned about where I rank in iTunes. But what I am concerned about is that people go into iTunes, they find a podcast that's 4 or 5 years old, and it sounds like crap because they recorded it on Blog Talk Radio 5 years ago. And then they go, oh, this podcasting's not for me.
Yeah, the good news is iTunes has done a lot for podcasting. The bad news is, you know, iTunes, you know, what was I watching the other day? And they were talking about how Odeo, which was started by the guy who started Twitter, when iTunes came on board, they went, ah, never mind, Apple's going to take over. So it did kind of, I think, discourage right. some stuff. The bad news is if their feed works, they're not going to get it out. That's what I've heard. That the one way to get kicked out of iTunes is if your feed stops working. There are other things with, you know, F-bombs and things like that. But I don't know. You know, we could mount a march and go to wherever.
iTunesDirectorySucks.com is available, actually. So we could start a movement around that. It's just $12.99 on Hover if you want to go. Somebody wants to go out and buy it and set it up.
Yeah.
I've actually found some feeds that are completely blank and they're still listed
nice.
In iTunes.
Well, what you can do is,
so, you know,
when you're there,
and I report it, you know, what I do is I report it, you know,
okay.
while I'm there, and I contact some other people who are kind of also in the homeschooling space, and I say, look, you, because their podcasts aren't even showing up in, you know, like in the top 200 list, because there's all these other podcasts in there that aren't producing, and I say, look, get into iTunes and submit a complaint saying, this thing's out of date, remove it from your listing. And, you know, or it's blank or, you know, whatever the case is. And, you know, we're not seeing any movement. But that's kind of one of my biggest pet peeves about that I've had with iTunes since I started all this back in 2005 is it's never up to date. You know, they just, it, like you said, if the feed works, they keep it there.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least if they put like an inactive tag on it so you would know when you saw it on the listing and it was kind of removed from the rankings.
Yeah. When would you deem something inactive? Because there are a lot of shows that are about TV shows or, you know, baseball that's, you know, football is an active, you know, what, 40 weeks out of the year? You know, it's like.
Yeah, I would think if you haven't podcast in a year, your podcast is inactive. You know, I think a year is a good kind of a good solid because that gets you around to all the seasonal things.
Yeah, because
you know
the thing that's really
that gives people time to.
Yeah, the thing that really makes people crazy is especially the older shows. You know, back in the day, didn't have a whole lot of competition, so they got a huge number of downloads.
Right.
And so I think total number of downloads plays into that mysterious, you know, what does Apple use to, you know, rank people? And so they're like, wait a minute, this, you know, there's a lot of, I have a friend of mine, Marcus Couch does WP plugins A to Z. And he for years was getting beat by WordPress podcasts that hadn't put out episodes in years. And he's like, so he just kept begging, please give us reviews, please give us reviews. And, you know, it does kind of stink. There is.
You know, it's kind of one of the things, if you're going to do rankings, I think that whether or not the show is active should kind of factor into it as well. And I know that, you know, our good buddy Cliff Ravenscraft doesn't think so because he's got lots of podcasts out there that are just kind of sitting and still ranking high. But, you know, to me, I understand you got a bunch of downloads 3 or 4 years ago, but you're not active. Your content, especially if it's for a TV show, is probably it's not as relevant now as it was then. And it's just it's one of those things where if I started a podcast directory,
right.
Well, you know, that would be one of the things where I'd drop you off. You know, a year you're inactive. Bye. You know. you go on the injured reserve list or something.
Yeah, I think you're doing everything you can, but in the end, I'm sure it's a low priority. I mean, I would just think that has nothing to do with money. Yeah. Has nothing to do. It has a lot to do with making their directory better. But right now, you know, Daniel J. Lewis in the chat room from the audacitytopodcast.com says there is a complete tag, but that needs to come from the person that did the show, and they haven't made a podcast in 3 years, right. So they don't. So it just adds it to the. See, I should have played this at the beginning of the show.
It's time for a pet peeve.
See, that would have been cool. It's a pet peeve.
Exactly, yeah.
So, anything else we can help you with?
No, that was it. I just wanted to kind of, you know, hear what you guys had to say. I don't generally get to listen on Saturday mornings because with six kids in the house, it's usually, you know, like going crazy around here.
Well, we'll have to reschedule our meeting. I know we were going to talk this week, but we'll have to... to reschedule that, and because when I heard he had six kids in the house, I'm like, I need to talk to you about that. How do you do that? So, but awesome.
How do I do it?
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
The same way you do.
Yeah. Awesome. Very carefully. Yeah. Awesome. Well, John, thanks so much for calling in, buddy.
Thanks, John.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good Saturday.
Yeah, that's the there were a lot of services. Somebody said, I wish Yahoo would get into podcasting. I go, they did in 2005. Mm-hmm. And then iTunes came in. They went, never mind. But yeah, there used to be a Yahoo podcast directory. So,
well, you get into that, the definition area of how do we, so when do we determine somebody's inactive and how do we make that, you know, and that gets sticky, right? And he mentions like Cliff, I'm kind of in the same boat. I got some podcasts that are out there that are evergreen, that are as good today as they were back then. Their quality, the video or the audio quality might not be as great. Speaking of that, I went back and watched some video from when Google Hangouts first went live.
Oh, like, nice.
You know, so we just did like show 195 this week. And so this is back on like 78, right? When Google Hangouts was just coming out. And holy moly, have they come a long way. You know, you're like, wow, I can't believe we thought this was good, you know. And then Mike Howard and I, we've been talking a lot about, he's been kind of trying to move on as much as he can onto Skype, because Skype audio and video has been so good lately. And yet in the last 2 weeks in Google Hangouts, I think they've completed their upgrades, because I have just had the best luck. Both at work and here. I mean, Dave, our connection is good. I think our sound is good. We're not having the, I mean, you're very little video buffering. Now, I'm not changing the window around very much, so your video is getting a chance to kind of stay buffered to me. But the quality of Google Hangouts in the last couple of weeks has been a lot better than it's been in the past, you know. And Skype still is the, I think Skype is still the winner when we talk about audio. We're doing, I think we're still in voice mode. And so the audio is not as good in voice as it is in studio. It gets better, but it's pretty good for free.
Yeah. Right? And I have my bandwidth. Yeah,
pretty good for free.
I have my bandwidth turned down, so I'm not in super HD. I do know this. I just know, all morning I'm like, why is my forehead so shiny? I need to fix this. It's because, these cheap little plastic.
Yeah, we get to see David Belly live.
Yeah, there you go. You have these little, you know, baby stands. I forget, this is Cowboy something. And, I need to make the feet a little wider, cause it keeps tipping over. And I looked up and it's like, you know, a foot and a half from my forehead. I'm like, why am I shiny? I'm like, come on, what's going on? So, but, hey, I thought I would talk. I actually just wrote an article for Pottertainment magazine, and I made my own bed in this. I've turned it into the, what do you think about these guys on podcast hosting? And I had somebody ask me, and in this case, the media host is free. And so the question becomes, what do you think of free media hosting? And I'm like, well, I usually start my stopwatch and go, let's see how long it takes for them to go out of business. Now, on the other hand, you know, bandwidth has come down a lot. This one is called Lover Eno. So, or Love Reno. L-O-V-E-R-I-N-O. It's, you have to request a whatever access to it at this point. And, you know, the whole thing is, with free hosting, the idea is they pay for the media hosting with advertising, and they say straight up that you don't get any cut of it. Zero. You get free hosting. And I thought about this. I'm like, well, okay, so what do they need? They need listeners and lots of them, basically. And I'm like, okay, so the people that jump on this are, in many cases, new podcasters who don't have listeners yet. And if you actually start a podcast there and get popular, so now you got 1,000 downloads an episode, now you don't need them for advertising. You might be able to get your own. And so what do? You go to Lipson or Blueberry. And so they, I was like, I don't think this, in the end, this is going to work. It's been tried a couple times, Podshow. It's been tried by Podango. There's a couple other ones. But I don't know. I just, to me, I'm like, you know, I went back and thought about it. I'm like, I spent $1.80. For a while, I was drinking 2 20-ounce Mountain Dews a day. And they were $1.50, actually, if I bought them in the one place. So it's $3, 20 times a day. That's $60. In Mountain Dew. And I went, you can't afford, you know, I mean, I do the Jillian Michaels podcast. It's a short, like 10-minute podcast. It used to be weekly. Now it's whenever I feel like it. But when it was weekly, it was $15. So I'm like, you know, and you don't have to split. Podango, back in the day, we were like, oh, this is awesome. They're going to give 70% of all the income to the content creator. Well, okay, that didn't last very long because they're gone. And they gave you about a week and a half to move.
You know, Dave, when you dropped or when you went full HD, you got jittery. And I mean, I can still hear you, but your video got weird on me.
Yeah, I noticed that. I'm going to close a couple. I closed. Scott Johnson from Computer Tutor Florida. I haven't tried it yet. It's called OneTab that somehow lets you have multiple tabs in OneTab. I haven't tried it yet. But in the process, it's supposed to free up a lot of your memory, because that's what happens is that all Saturday morning, as we're trying stuff, like I went over to zoom.us, well, there's another tab and another tab. And what happens is by the end of the show, even though I'm closing these tabs, a lot of times Google doesn't give you the memory back, at least not in my case. And it gets a little weird. And so, you know, I'm tempted to try this. And it might have been one dash tab, but it's a little different.
You know what's ironic is that whenever I have problems with Hangouts in Chrome, I just have the users switch over to IE, and it almost always fixes it.
Really?
Yeah. So
Internet Explorer, I remember that. It's so weird.
Yeah, a trick. It almost works better, IE. Than Chrome. You know, they've been making a lot of changes to Chrome to embed the Google Talk plugin into the browser, so you don't have to install that anymore. You know, that's always been a requirement to use Google Hangouts, is you had to have the plugin installed. And they're trying to work that out. I think that's been a little harder than they thought it would be, and I don't think it's worked as well as they've wanted it to. It takes up massive CPU utilization as well as a lot of memory that you were talking about on the computers. But in IE, it seems to work pretty well. Huh. So it's crazy. Yeah. So you can always try that with if you're using Google Hangouts and you're having problems and they're in Chrome. I haven't had a lot of luck with Firefox. That's been the one thing. It's not like it's just another browser that helps. It's IE specifically. It's the newest version of IE on Windows desktop that I'm referring to. Seems to work really well.
We should mention that if you want to call in, we have open phone lines. The number is 347-850-8007. That's 347-850-8007. And we will answer your questions. You know, we talk about it's always interesting because the show kind of goes in 8 million different directions, and that's fine because really you drive it. So, you know, if we're talking about topic A and you're like, oh, I don't want to call in because, you know, they're talking about iTunes or whatever. No, feel free to call in. With whatever you want. And, you know, if you have a pet peeve, we can do that too. And, everything else. So again, it's 347-850-8007. Should probably mention, I always forget to do this. If you'd like to join the School of Podcasting, I always usually throw in one plug, use the coupon code S20 and get $20 off your first month. And I was going to talk about my speed. I forget what my, if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com, I found out something that's awesome. I talked about my speed. That's the thing that speeds up videos. It speeds up Netflix now. And you want to talk about binge watching. Oh my, it's like I'm watching stuff at 2X and 2.5X. And I wonder if this will ever come to podcasting. There's a new style of entertainment called What the Heck Am I Watching? Where you watch the next episode because you're like going, you know, what the heck is that? And it's weird because my video has frozen up on this side. Okay, but I'm back now. Yeah. If you think about it, like the show Lost was just like every week you're like, what? Wait, if the thing is the what? And I started watching The American Horror Story on Netflix, and it was just so bizarre. It's like a house is haunted, but the person is old, but they're young, and you're really going, it's this weird confusion equals entertainment thing that I'm like, I don't think that would work in audio. Every week you tune in to find out, what the heck is that guy talking about?
Sarah watches, my wife, Sarah, my wife, she watches Fallon his monologue. She watches in two times.
Yeah.
And so I'll go in there and he's, you know, and it's just hilarious. It's almost as fun to watch it at that speed because it's that speed than it is to watch it kind of in real time. And then when they get the guests on, she'll spin that down to, we use Windows Media Center for that, and she'll spin that down to normal speed. But it's funny when I walk out there and she's got Jimmy Fallon double speed.
Yeah, it is. That's the one thing that when I was listening to a podcast last week, I forget who they were talking with. And one of the reasons, if we go like him or not, I was listening to an interview of Barbara Walters by Howard Stern. And as much as Howard's about lesbian and fart jokes and, you know, whatever, when that guy does an interview, it's a good interview. I learned so much stuff about Barbara Walters that I'd never heard of and all sorts of stuff. And I think that's one of the really cool things about podcasting is the fact that it's not, because I love Jimmy Fallon. I think he's funny. But, you know, the other night he had Mark Wahlberg on. They were on for like 3 minutes, you know, and then they played some game where they slapped each other with big giant hands. And I'm like, I think I would have rather learned more about the movie to let me figure out if I want to go see it or.
Yeah, no, they're not there to promote. Yeah. You know, they're not there to promote the movie. I mean, I think they've figured out that doesn't really do much anyway or right. What, but they just jump on and they've got funny stuff that they do. I really like, I mean, for the comedy value,
yeah.
You're not going to get an interview from Fallon.
Well, the interesting thing is, who was I listening to? Oh man, it might've been Mark Maron. No, it was Barry Katz, Industry Standard. Really, if you're into entertainment, the behind the scenes of entertainment, then they were talking about the whole Jay Leno, David Letterman thing. And they said, how are you going to beat Letterman to Leno? And he says, with comedy, which is a polite thing to say, we're going to be funny. But in the end, that's what they did. They, you know, came out and had really good jokes and nailed the monologue. They didn't quite go for the quirky, you know, stupid pet tricks kind of stuff. I'm a huge Letterman fan, by the way, but when looking back, I'm like, he kind of, yeah, they, you know, they came up with a bunch of bits and, you know, people on the street kind of stuff. And that wasn't quite so, you know, Letterman was used to be out there back in the, you know, when he first was on NBC and that whole 9 yards, but I thought it was funny. He's like, we're going to beat him with comedy. And I'm like,
Hey, let's try an experiment real quick. Let's switch over to studio mode.
All right.
And I'm going to watch my resource utilization piece here, and we'll see if so. We're going from voice to studio.
Well, of course, I clicked on voice, and my screen is frozen up. There we go. All right.
Okay.
And you sound so much better. And I'm going to go studio. So here we go. Studio. Save. I mean, I can hear like if you had a fan on now, I can hear it. Like I hear your background.
Yeah, I see the difference. Hold on. You can. It really picks up a lot more. Studio's got this weird hiss in the background.
Yes.
Which I don't like. It
It sounds like somebody had a noise gate and they took it off. And it's not like, you know, it's just the S's and the T's are clearer now. But in terms of, it sounds like you way down the hall, you have a fan. Like I hear this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I hear it on your side too. So yeah. It's not necessarily me, but you get a little bit better audio quality. It did not change the amount of bandwidth I was using at all. So it's not like it's yeah, Eileen's saying there's an echo. So Daniel says studio mode's a lot higher quality, although Daniel, I'm not seeing the reflection and quality on in my bandwidth. So it's not like it's pushing more audio up to you. Like, well, it's not like the voice mode voice mode was pushing any less. The amount of bandwidth I'm using should have, if it's better quality, it should have gone up. I should have started using more, I would think.
And Eileen says there's an echo.
Well, I think she's hearing, I think she's, they're behind us 30 seconds. So I think she was hearing when I was echoing.
Got it. Excellent.
Yeah. This is a little bit better. But that hiss behind the scenes, and it gets quieter because it's weird. You know, you change over and then the volume goes down. And so you have to turn everything up, and you can't, if you're going to use studio mode in Hangouts, everybody has to be on it. You can't have one person on voice and the other on studio because their volume differences will be different. Typically Google would level that out, but it doesn't when you do it that way. So
the other thing you'd have to make sure of is I would think you'd have to watch everybody's levels more because that compression isn't going to knock you down now. So I have to make sure, you know, that you're wherever you're at and make sure you're not going to blast me out. So, we actually have a caller as we,
bring him in.
Awesome. Let me hit that.
Seems like your resourcing issues are over.
Yeah. Well, I've closed. The only thing I've opened is you and Blog Talk Radio's interface. Ending in 7825, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, it's Michael Ray. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. I just, I finally got where I can get a signal.
Excellent.
But, I have a question about the lavalier mic. I've seen some that are like the RODEs and I've seen Audio Technicas. What's kind of a good, reasonable priced clip-on type mic?
I hear a lot about the Rode. Now, there's two Rode ones. One you need to stay away from, and one's like the I can't think of the name. This is where I need my chat room. One's like the something pro, and one is not pro, and the one that's not pro is caca poo poo.
Right.
I've used. Let me pull it out from behind me. You're never going to get like a Heil PR40 sound from, you know, a lav. I mean, there's some good lavs.
Right.
Because this one's like $20. It's the Audio Technica ATR3350. Now, it requires a little watch battery. I've used it. It's okay. It doesn't give you a ton of signal, even with the watch battery. But I've used it with some stuff where I'll do video and I don't want to have the big honking mic in my face and I'll clip it on. And it sounds okay. Daniel in the chat room might have some. I know he's played with a couple.
They're saying the Smart Lav Plus.
Smart Lav Plus, that's it. Yeah, there's Smart Lav, which I heard
wasn't the one to get.
Well, I heard there was Smart Lav, which I heard wasn't very good, but you got to go to the Smart Lav Plus. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
I've heard now is that the one that only, cuz then you have to be careful cuz some of them only work with iPhones. Like they have the little 3-ring tip thing.
Right.
And then some of them, it's kind of tricky, but I've heard.
Yeah, when I was looking, I saw that you're right. It had that like 3-ring thing on there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that would work, you know, because if you want to plug it into, because I want to run two of them, do that little iStudio thing I got, you know, when I'm doing something portable. And that way I don't have to worry about, because sometimes kids, they'll take their mouth away. They'll go this and that, but this way I can maybe kind of at least get a consistent level, you know?
Yeah. I mean, cause what I do, you know, the ATR one here, has just your typical, you know, single microphone plug in. I just plugged it into where it had a 1/4 inch and then I would plug that into a channel and then you could go at that rate. And it's not wireless, but it's got like, I don't know, 15 feet of cable on the thing. So it was kind of nice about it. Jim, what are they saying in the chat room?
Eileen has said the Plus works with the Android. Twit guy says he thinks the best one is the Sanken, S-A-N-K-E-N, costs $11. He's not, he's not big on lavs, but Daniel says the Mike J 044. The Mike, M-I-C, capital J, 044 lavalier.
From who?
Mike J, I guess, is the... I'll click on his link. Oops, what?
I used to use Giant Squid Audio back in the day. They made some pretty cool lavs.
Pro Lavalier Lapel Microphone, JK. And then the model is Mike-J044. Oh, it's a Sennheiser. Sorry. It's a Sennheiser mic.
Yeah. So that would explain that.
Yep. Yeah. You know, you're asking a lavalier mic to do a lot, right? I mean, this is the problem with the lav is you've got a little tiny microphone that you're asking it to do a lot. So, you know, you need to set your expectations accordingly. You're not going to get great quality sound oftentimes, excuse me, out of a lavalier. They are what they are. They have their use. They have their, you know, they have their place in what we're doing, but it's typically not the best sound.
Yeah, I used
and I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, I used
I just don't want it to sound like remember the old Mr. microphone?
Oh yeah. Or that little
hey,
stick
mic.
Yeah, the little stick mic you would get with your laptop or whatever.
Right.
Right. Oh, it's, you know what? I made a mistake, Dave. So that lapel is for the Sennheiser wireless trans. Wow. Daniel put a link in there, it confused me. Sorry about that, guys. Just keep going.
But yeah, it's, you might try, you know, ask Uncle Google and see if there are, any places where you can hear examples of those, which even that is kind of weird because you always wonder, like, who is giving the sample and do they boost it through a bunch of, you know, EQ and stuff to go, here, this is awesome, and please use my affiliate link.
Right. I heard somebody on a... Because I think Ray Ortega was doing something. So I kind of looked around a little bit. I saw a guy on YouTube, and he's saying, yeah, this don't sound bad and all this. I use it with my video, and I'm thinking, well, is there a guy behind the microphone, you know, cranking that handle? You know, oh, keep going. Nothing to see here. I don't know. So,
yeah, I mean, you will achieve listenable audio, I guess, is a way of saying, depending on the lavalier. I've yet to hear one. I'm like, wow, this is, you know, this sounds just as good as any mic, but it's... You know, what you're not going to pick up is you're not going to pick up as much bass, maybe, which is fine. There are some. There's one podcast who will remain nameless right now that just when it comes on, it just rattles my teeth. It's they've boosted the bottom end so much. It picks up the human voice. So it's not going to be super duper clear and it's not going to be super duper bassy, but it'll sound better than a phone.
Well, seeing that. I had heard a podcast on one guy doing some stuff, and then when I heard him, you know, because I listened to all kind, I got my phone, I got the iPad, I got everything loaded up, you know, just because I like, because I'm 11 hours on my butt, you know, I got to listen to something, which I listened to your recommendation on Kate's Take. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like her voice. Her voice is nice and even, you know, and it's just, the whole audio is just nice and even, and I really like listening to her. But, you know, when you got kids squirming around, you know, I realize I'm not going to get a real studio quality, but at least if I can get a consistent audio, because trying to process something that's up and down, it gets.
You know. Yeah, it's one of those things. You're trying to get the right recording in, so you don't have to do a lot of post-production later, and now I got to levelate everything and adjust the volume and compress it and all that other stuff. You can kind of get it recorded right.
And I use that levelator thing, and that thing seemed like that works pretty good. I don't know if it's going to stay around or not.
Yeah, it's not under development, so eventually, you know, there will be an operating system that it doesn't work with. That's going to be the problem, which you can always go over to Auphonic, and depending on how much you're doing, you know, most of that is free. Levelator is good if things were just a little different. The problem you run into is if you have, you sounded great, and your guest sounded horrible. Well, it would boost their volume up, but it would also boost the hiss. And it would just, you had this weird kind of ocean effect where they would talk and it'd be like, whoosh, and then they would talk and you would hear them. And when they quit, you'd hear, because it was like turning back down the volume. It was the most bizarre. And people were like, are you standing near the ocean? No, they were on their cell phone and it was a bad reception or something like that. It was just horrible. So awesome.
Yeah. But, well, I if anybody in the like I say, had any more suggestions on that, however you do it, but I'm thinking in Smart Labs, the RODEs, they seem like they was pretty good, about $60 or so. But like you said, if it has that three ring on there, I don't know how it's going to work with something else, you know?
Yeah, see, and that's, see, that, I mean, I don't know. How old are your kids?
Oh, I got 10 to 28, but I got, when I was listening to you earlier, when I caught you, one guy had like six kids at home.
Yeah, that was,
you know, I'm 50 something, and I got a 10 year old, I got 11 year old, and I have a 14 year old, and the 14 year old, he does not know the meaning of stop eating. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
The reason I say that is when you talk $60 for a microphone, I'm like, ooh, man, that's an ATR 2100, and you just increase the sound of your audio, you know, and all you got to do is teach them how
to
in front of the mic.
Yeah. And that's what I did. I went on, a matter of fact, I just got on your affiliate link there and got some Q2s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
thank you.
And I got some of that stuff in there, and I got some, I got boom arms, you know, so I can, that helps them to be more consistent. And I ordered some of those stands. You them little stands, they're like $12 or $13 you had on that thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see if I can maybe, if that boom arm doesn't work, I can maybe, when I go someplace remote or whatever, I can stack it to where that microphone is right in front of their face or like to the side there. And then that way the lavalier mics, which I don't think they're going to sound that good either, but at least I can get something consistent, you know, because, you know, there's a difference between Polk Audio speakers and Sears speakers. You know, it's just, there's just a big difference, you know? So, and I know you got to pay to play, so.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to play. Hey, I just got to make sure that whatever. And what I told my kids, I told them, I said, when we do this thing, we got to make sure you got your headphones in and all this, because there comes a moment, and one of those moments was a long time ago. You guys had the Podcasters Roundtable, and Ray Ortega was talking about, who's that guy with the big long stick mic in the game show? He said, oh, he dead.
Oh,
he died or something.
Bob Barker.
Yeah. Bob Barker. Remember to neuter your pets, and then you got on there and you said, did he die? You know, that was so funny. But if you got such crappy microphones, you miss a good moment. You know, And I'll tell you what, I replayed that thing four or five times going down the road. It was so funny. He was sitting there saying that, and you said, wait a minute, died? And then the other one was Charles McFadden and that porn star thing. That was funny, too. But anyway, Ginger Lynn, I think it was. But
yes.
I learned that long time ago in the photography thing. If you don't do a good, get the best quality you can possibly get, you'll miss that picture, you know, you've had in Austinburg, you know, Austin, Austria somewhere, that you'll never get back again. That's why I'm trying to make it as good as possible, you know, without killing myself. But them little mic stands, I think, may do the trick. But if it doesn't, then I'm looking for lavaliers, you know, and we'll see what happens. But I'm going to try the mic stands first. But
okay.
You
know. Yeah, I would try that first and go from there. So awesome.
Well, I really enjoy the show. I try to listen. I work every Saturday, so I kind of catch your show once I get back into Illinois, then I can get the signal again. But because I always lose a signal at exit 42, so kind of, you know, but well, I do enjoy it.
We appreciate you listening. Thanks so much.
Michael, we'll see you at the Omaha. We'll see you at the Omaha meetup here.
Jimmy, you got Mr. Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast. Welcome to the show, buddy.
I can't believe I'm calling in through Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you know what? I'll give them credit. We haven't dropped a call yet, which is why we're kind of kicking the tires on this. So,
well, I wanted to give a little bit of input on the lav mics.
Yes.
The TRRS, where you see the three black stripes, that can be adapted for other devices. And there are plenty of adapters out there. Like Rode makes an adapter. And it can work on anything like that. If you're seeing the three black stripes, it's designed to plug into either Mac computers sometimes or a mobile device. But that can be adapted for other things, like a recorder or maybe a mixer, depending on the lav.
Yeah, it always gets fun when you start busting out the, you know, basically the translators. You know, this let's convert this to a quarter inch, and now it's an XLR into the RCA jack. It's like, it gets kind of crazy. Do you have a lav that you use?
Yeah, right now I'm using the Giant Squid Audio Labs lavalier, which is has been a really good mic. It's about $52 or $46 or $52, depending on how you customize it. But there's this YouTube channel. It's Curtis Judd. That's J-U-D-D. And he's done a lot of great reviews on lavalier microphones. And he was the one that I learned about the giant squid from. And he's also compared the Smart Lav Plus and all of that. But he's also the one where I learned about the Mic J 044 that uses a Sennheiser adapter, but it can plug into just about any kind of recorder, and you can adapt it to record into an iPhone as well. But that device is only $30, and it sounds better, noticeably better, than the Giant Squid Lab.
Really? Okay. Because I know the Giant Squid is made by like some guy in Michigan who lives in his basement, and you know they're all handmade kind of thing. And I know I've used them since.
Well, he does have a factory now.
Oh, does he? Well, that's cool.
He has a factory, yeah. And so his production is a lot faster. Actually, I just recently did a sort of cross grade with him because I didn't like the clips on the old microphones he was making.
Yeah.
And he changed clip styles. So I just did a cross grade, and I had the microphone in about a week. So his process is a lot faster now, and it's the same price.
Nice. Yeah, I remember, I think it was at the very first like podcast expo. Somebody walked in with a little iRiver and recorded, and I'm like, man, this sounds awesome. And it was Giant Squid Audio. And it's like, and it's his website looks like it's from like 1986. So don't let that fool you. The guy does make some really good
they
microphones.
He didn't have the internet in 86.
Okay, 92. Something like that.
That still might be a little early.
Awesome. Well, while you're here, Daniel, feel free to plug your SEO class that I'm thinking of coming to.
Yeah, well, it's a digital product that will be launching on January 6th. I'm taking pre-orders right now while it's on a pre-order discount for about 25% off. And it's SEO for podcasters. You can check it out at theaudacitytopodcast.com/SEO, which is search engine optimization. And so I go through not just how to optimize your website, but how to optimize your podcast feed so it is more searchable in iTunes, how to properly use certain tags, what the best plugin is for SEO, how to use PowerPress's new features for search engine optimization for your podcast, how to leverage other platforms to help your podcast dominate the front page of Google searches and other searches. So it's looking like it's on track to be about 3 to 4 hours of training content.
Wow.
And that's going to be over at theaudacitytopodcast.com/SEO, launching at full retail price on January 6th. But you can jump in on the pre-order for only $75.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Well, thanks for popping in and giving your insights on the microphone. That's very good to know. I'll have to look those up. I've never heard of the Sennheiser, so I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, the Mic J044, $30.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my new recommendation.
Cool. Awesome, buddy. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you later.
Good talking to you, Daniel.
All right. And with that, we will we'll start the fun-filled music. It still sounds weird. I need to see what's going on with that clip. It's weird sounding. It's like
sounds good to me.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
But, fun-filled day today. The one thing I didn't do today... No, I did, actually. When I got here, my computer rebooted because Windows had installed some updates. Because usually I reboot to start Saturday. So I will just quit playing with Chrome on Saturday morning. I might try Internet Explorer next week.
Yeah, give it a try. Maybe we both go on IE and give it a shot.
See if it works. Or I've actually thought of putting this on the Mac and then doing all the streaming on the PC. Because it's just a little Mac Mini. I'll have to see how much memory's in that thing.
Yeah, I think you want to do as much streaming with as much memory and CPU as you can get.
Whichever machine has the most memory. That's the other thing. I'm going to look and see how much I can plug in this bad boy. And
we going to use Block Talk Radio for the foreseeable future to keep testing it out?
I would think at this point. On the one hand, it's saving me money. I'm not, getting charged. I'm still paying for the $6 a month for the phone line. I'm going to keep that in case I ever want to go back. But... before it was whatever, $4 or $5 an episode, something like that. So it's like, oh, it's
better. Remember, our purpose is to test things here. That's why we do this. It's funny. People get all concerned sometimes, not in this case, right. But you know. And it's like, hey, look, this is what we do this for. This is why we do this Saturday mornings.
That's why you tune in, to see what kind of train wreck it is.
It is kind of fun, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. Jim, thanks so much for being here. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com, and we'll see you every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.